Chapter 19. The beat of hammers and the pounding of distant forges echoed through the anvilarium of the Fist of Iron, but Gabriel Santar, first captain of the Iron Hands, barely heard them. The Morlock Terminators stood sentinel around the edge of the chamber, the mightiest of them protecting the gates of the Primarch's inner sanctum, the Iron Forge. Rendered ghostly by the hissing clouds of steam that billowed from the deck, the fearsome visage of the Morlocks put Santar in mind of the vengeful predators that howled across the frozen tundra of Medusa, for which they were named. His heart beat in time with the mighty hammers far below, the thought of once again standing in the presence of two of the mightiest beings in the galaxy, filling him with pride, honour, and, if he was honest, not a little trepidation. Ferus Manus stood beside him, resplendent in his gleaming black battle armour and wearing a glistening cloak of mail that shone like spun silver. His high gorget of dark iron obscured the lower part of his face, but Santar knew his Primarch well enough to know that he was smiling at the thought of a reunion with his brother.
"It will do my heart proud to see Fulgrim again, Santar," said Ferus.
And Santar risked a sidelong glance at the Primarch of the 10th Legion, hearing a note of wariness in his master's voice that echoed his own feelings on the matter.
"My lord," he asked, "is something the matter?"
Ferus Manus turned his flinty eyes on Santar and said,
"No, not exactly, my friend, but you were there when we parted from the Emperor's children after the victory over the Diasporex. You know that our legions did not part as brothers-in-arms should."
Santar nodded, remembering well the ceremony of parting on the upper embarkation deck of the Pride of the Emperor. The ceremony was to be held aboard Fulgrim's flagship, for the Fist of Iron had suffered horrendous damage when it had intercepted the Diasporex cruisers closing on the Firebird, and the Primarch of the Emperor's children had deemed it unfit for a ceremony of such magnitude. Though such a proclamation had incensed its captain and crew, Ferus Manus had laughed off his brother's hasty words and agreed to come aboard the Pride of the Emperor. Surrounded by the Morlocks, Ferus Manus and Santar had marched through the ranks of elaborately armoured Phoenix Guard towards the waiting forms of the Phoenician and his battle captains. The march had felt like they were running a gauntlet of enemy warriors instead of the Praetorians of their closest brothers. In Santar's eyes, the ceremony had been concluded with unseemly haste, Fulgrim taking his brother in an embrace that was as awkward as their first had been joyous. Ferus Manus must surely have noticed the change in his brother's mien, but he had said nothing of it upon their return to the Fist of Iron. A tightening of the Primarch's jaw as he watched the 28th Expedition translate into the churning maelstrom of the warp had been the only indication that he felt slighted by his brother's coldness.
"You think Fulgrim still feels affronted by what happened at the Carolus Star?"
Ferus did not answer immediately, and Santar knew that was exactly what was bothering his Primarch.
"We saved him and his precious Firebird from being blown to bits," continued Santar. "Fulgrim should be grateful."
Ferus chuckled and said, "You don't know my brother, then. That he needed saving at all is unthinkable to him, for it suggests that he acted in a manner less than perfect. Be sure not to mention it around him, Gabriel. I'm serious."
Santar shook his head, his lip curled in a sneer.
"Too damn superior, the lot of them. Did you see the way their first captain sized me up when we first boarded the Pride of the Emperor? You didn't have to be old Sistor to feel the condescension coming from them. They think they're better than us. You can see it in every one of their faces."
Ferus Manus turned to face him, and the full power of his silver eyes bored in on Santar, their cold depths chilling in their controlled anger. Santar knew he'd gone too far, and he cursed the fire within him that surged in him at the thought of any insult done to his legion.
"My apologies, lord," he said. "I spoke out of turn."
As quickly as Ferus's ire had risen at his fiery words, it subsided, and he leaned down close to Santar, his voice little more than a whisper.
"Yes, you did. But you spoke from the heart. and that is why I value you. It's true that this rendezvous is unexpected, for I did not request the presence of the Emperor's children to aid us. The 52nd expedition needs no assistance in defeating the Greenskins.
Then why are they here? Asked Santa.
I do not know. Though I welcome the chance to see my brother again and heal any rifts between us.
Perhaps he feels the same and comes to make amends.
I doubt it, said Ferus Manus. It is not in Fulgrim's nature to admit when he is wrong.
The great black iron gates of the Anvilarium swung open, and Fulgrim marched towards them, with his flowing, fur-lined cape billowing in the heated gusts of air from the forges below. He stood for a moment at the chamber's threshold, knowing that to step across this line was to set foot on a road that might see him sundered forever from his closest brother. He saw Ferus Manus with his first captain and chief astropath flanking him, the grim form of his Morlock bodyguards placed around the chamber's perimeter. Julius Caeseron, resplendent in his Terminator armour, and a full 10 of the Phoenix Guard, accompanied him to mark the gravity of the moment. When Fulgrim sensed the moment was right, he stepped into the dry heat of the Anvilarium and marched to stand before his brother Primarch. Julius Caeseron remained at his side as the Phoenix Guard moved to join the Morlocks at the chamber's edge, so that there was a purple and gold armoured twin for each of the steel-skinned Terminators. The risk of approaching Ferus Manus like this was great, but the rewards to be reaped upon the inevitable success of the War Master's ambition outweighed any doubts he might once have had. The War Master had already begun the process of winning the other Primarchs to his cause, and Fulgrim had promised that he could bring him Ferus Manus without a shot being fired. Such was their shared history and bonds of brotherhood that Fulgrim knew Ferus Manus could not fail to see the justice of their cause. The veil of lies had been lifted from Fulgrim's eyes, and it was his duty to reveal that lie to his closest brother. "Ferus," he said, opening his arms to his brother, "it gladdens my heart to see you again." Ferus Manus embraced him, and Fulgrim felt his love for his brother swell in his breast as the Primarch of the Iron Hands thumped his silver hands against his fur cape.
"It is an unexpected joy to see you, my brother," said Ferus, stepping back and looking him up and down. "What brings you to the Kalanidis system? Are we not prosecuting the foe quickly enough for the War Master?"
"On the contrary," beamed Fulgrim, "the War Master himself sends his compliments and bids me honour you for the speed of your conquests." He bit back a smile as he felt the pride of achievement fill every warrior of the Iron Hands in the Anvilarium. Of course, the War Master had said no such thing, but a little flattery never failed to win over hearts and minds at such times.
"You hear that, my brothers?" shouted Ferus Manus. "The War Master honours us. Glory to the 10th Legion!" "Glory to the 10th Legion!" bellowed the Iron Hands, and Fulgrim felt like laughing at such primitive displays of pleasure. He could show these dull warriors the true meaning of pleasure, but that would come later.
Ferus clapped his silver hand on Fulgrim's shoulder and said,
"But come, brother. Aside from passing on the War Master's honour, what brings you here?"
Fulgrim smiled and placed his hand on Fireblade's golden pommel. He had deemed it impolitic to come before Ferus without the sword his brother had forged beneath Mount Narodnia over 2 centuries ago, but he felt the absence of his silver blade keenly. Ferus saw the gesture and reached behind him to lift Forgebreaker, the great hammer that Fulgrim had crafted. The two Primarchs smiled, and once again their brotherhood was obvious to all. "You are right, Ferus, there is more that I would speak of, but it is for your ears alone," said Fulgrim. "It concerns the very future of the Great Crusade." Suddenly serious, Ferus nodded and said,
"Then we shall talk in the Iron Forge."
Marius stood rigidly to attention on the bridge of the Pride of the Emperor. His flesh alive with sensation as he watched the drifting slab of steel and bronze that was the Fist of Iron through the viewing bay. The ship was an ugly beast, decided Marius, its hull still scarred and unpainted after the damage done to it during the Battle of the Carolus Star. What kind of legion would travel in a vessel so unfitted to the glory of the warriors it carried? What manner of leader did not have the pride to embellish his fleet so that it displayed the perfection of the legion it represented? Marius felt his collar rise and struggled to control it as he found himself crushing the brass rails around the command pulpit. His anger stimulated the newly rewired pleasure centres of his brain, and it was only with a supreme effort of will that he forced himself to be calm. He had explicit orders from his Primarch, orders that might be the difference between life and death for all those aboard the Fist of Iron, and it would be the death of them all were he to fail when called upon. Fulgrim had specifically selected him for this role, for he knew there was no warrior more reliable than Marius in the Emperor's Children, who would not hesitate or suffer any conflict of conscience at doing what might have to be done. Ever since going under the knives of Apothecary Fabius, Marius had felt as though his skin were a prison for the universe of sensation that seethed in the meat and bone of his body. Every emotion brought an ecstasy of joy, and every hurt a spasm of pleasure. Julius had instructed him on the teachings of Cornelius Blake, and he had passed that knowledge throughout his company. Every one of his officers and many of the fighting Astartes had been sent to the Andronius for chemical and surgical enhancement. The demands on Apothecary Fabius had been so great that he had even established an entirely new corps of augmentative chirurgeons to meet the Legion's requirements for enhancements. With the Legion's surprise attack on deep orbital DS-191, the Iron Hands had welcomed them with open arms, renewing the oaths of brotherhood that had been sworn amid the corpses of the Diasporic's fleet. The picket vessels of the Iron Hands had stood down, and discreetly and without provocation, the pride of the Emperor and her escorts drifted amongst the ships of the 52nd Expedition. With one command, he could visit unimaginable destruction upon the Iron Hands. The thought made him sweat, and his every nerve ending leapt to the surface of his skin, singing with sensation. If Fulgrim's mission was successful, such drastic action would not be necessary. Despite himself, Marius realized that he hoped his Primarch's mission would fail. Ferrus Manus kept his most prized relics and personal creations within the Iron Forge. Its gleaming walls were fashioned from smooth, glassy basalt, and hung with all manner of wondrous weapons, armour and machinery crafted by the Primarch's silver hands. A vast anvil of iron and gold sat in the centre of the forge, and Ferrus Manus had long ago declared that none save his brother Primarchs were permitted to enter this most private sanctum. Fulgrim himself had only set foot in it once before. Vulcan, of the 18th Legion, had once declared it a magical place, using the language of the ancients to describe the magnificence it contained. To honour Ferris's skill, Vulcan had presented him with a fire drake banner, which hung next to a wondrously crafted gun with a top-loading magazine and perforated barrel formed in the shape of a snarling dragon. Its brass and silver body comprised the finest workmanship Fulgrim had ever seen, and he paused before it, its lines and curves so beautiful that to simply label it a weapon was to deny that it was, in fact, a work of art.
"I made that for Vulcan 200 years ago," said Ferris, "before he led his legion into the Mordant Stars."
"So why is it still here?"
"You know what Vulcan's like. He loves to work the metal and doesn't trust anything that hasn't had the beat of a hammer laid upon it, or the fire of the forge in its heart."
Ferrus held up his shimmering mercurial hands and said,
"I don't think he liked the fact that I could shape metal without heat or hammer. He returned it to me a century ago, saying that it should remain here with its creator.
I think Nocturne's superstitions aren't as forgotten as our brother would have us believe."
Fulgrim reached up to touch the weapon, but curled his fingers into a fist before they touched the warm metal. To touch such a perfect weapon without firing it would be wrong. "I understand that there is a certain attraction in a handsomely made weapon, but to apply such artistry to a thing designed to kill seems extravagant," said Fulgrim.
"Really?" chuckled Ferris, hefting Forgebreaker and pointing it at Fireblade, sheathed at Fulgrim's hip. "Then what were we doing in the Urals?"
Fulgrim drew his sword and turned it in his hands so that it caught the light and threw dazzling red reflections around the forge. "That was a contest," smiled Fulgrim. "I didn't know you then, and I wasn't going to have you outdo me, was I?" Ferris circled the iron forge, pointing his warhammer at the magnificent creations he had wrought and which hung upon the wall.
"There is nothing in weapons, machinery, or engineering devices that obliges them to be ugly," said Ferris. "Ugliness is a measure of imperfection. You of all people should appreciate that."
"Then you must be perfectly imperfect," said Fulgrim, his smile robbing the comment of malice.
"I'll leave being pretty to you and sanguineous, my brother. I'll stick to fighting. Now come on, what's this all about? You speak of the future of the Great Crusade and then want to talk of weapons and old times. What's going on?"
Fulgrim tensed, suddenly anxious at what he was to ask of his brother. He had hoped to approach the matter circuitously, feeling out his brother's position and the likelihood of him joining them willingly, but with typical Medusan directness, Ferris Manus had come right out and demanded to know his purpose. How artless and blunt! "When did you last see the Emperor?" asked Fulgrim.
"The Emperor? What has that to do with anything?"
"Indulge me. When was it?"
"A long time ago," admitted Ferris. "Arena Septimus, on the crystal headlands above the acid oceans."
"I last saw him on Ullinor at the War Master's coronation," said Fulgrim, moving towards the great anvil and trailing his fingers along the cold metal. "I wept when he told us that he believed the time had come for him to leave the crusading work to his sons, and that he was returning to Terra to undertake a still higher calling."
"The great triumph," nodded Ferris sadly. "I was on campaign in the Kaelor Nebula, and too far distant to attend personally. It is the one regret I have, not being able to say my farewells to our father."
"I was there," said Fulgrim, his voice choked with emotion. "I stood on the dais next to Horus and Dawn when the Emperor told us he was leaving, and it was the second most heartbreaking moment of my life. We begged him to stay, to see out what he had begun, but he turned his back on us. He would not even say what this great work was, only that were he not to return to Terra, then all that we had won would crumble and fall into ruins." Ferris Manus looked up at him, his eyes narrowed.
"You talk as if he abandoned us."
"That was how it felt," said Fulgrim, his tone bitter. "How it still feels."
"You said yourself that our father was returning to Terra to preserve all that we have fought and bled for. Do you really think he would not have wanted to see the final victory of the Crusade?"
"I don't know," said Fulgrim angrily. "He could have stayed. What difference would a few years make? What could be so important that he had to leave us there and then?" Ferris took a step towards him, and Fulgrim saw the reflection of his hurt anger in the mirrored eyes of his brother, the betrayal of everything he and the Emperor's children had fought for over the last 200 years.
"I do not understand what you imply, Fulgrim," said Ferris, his words trailing off as the import of Fulgrim's earlier words came to him. "What did you mean when you said it was the second most heartbreaking moment of your life? What could be greater than that?"
Fulgrim took a deep breath, knowing that he would have to come flat out and say what he had come to say.
What could be greater than that? When Horus told me the truth of how the Emperor had betrayed us and planned to cast us aside in his quest for godhood,
said Fulgrim, relishing the horrified expression of surprise and fury on his brother's face.
Fulgrim, shouted Ferrus, what in terror is wrong with you? Betrayed us? Godhood? What are you talking about?
Fulgrim took quick steps to stand before Ferrus Manus, his voice passionate now that he had taken the final step and confessed his true reasons for coming here. Horus has seen the truth of things, my brother. The Emperor has already abandoned us, and even now plots his apotheosis. He lied to us all, Ferrus. We were nothing more than tools to win back the galaxy in preparation for his ascension. The perfect being he pretended to be was a filthy lie. Ferrus pushed him off and backed away, his ruddy, craggy features pale and horrified. Knowing he had to press on, Fulgrim said, Others have already seen this truth and are moving to join Horus. We will strike before the Emperor is even aware that his designs have been unmasked. Horus will reclaim the galaxy in the name of those whose blood was spent to conquer it. Fulgrim wanted to laugh as the words spilled from him, the thrill of finally unburdening himself almost too great to stand. The breath heaved in his lungs, and he could not tell whether the thundering he could hear was the blood surging in his skull or the hammers of faraway forges. Ferrus Manus shook his head, and Fulgrim despaired as he saw his brother's horror turning to fury.
This is the new direction of the crusade you spoke of?
Yes, cried Fulgrim. It will be a glorious age of perfection, my brother. What we have won is already being given away to imperfect mortals who will waste the glories we won for them. What we have earned in blood and tears will be ours again. Can't you see that?
All I see is betrayal, Fulgrim, roared Ferrus Manus. You are not talking about claiming back what we have won. You are talking about betraying everything we stand for.
My brother, implored Fulgrim, please, you must listen to me. The Mechanicum has already pledged its support to the War Master, as have many of our brothers. War is coming. War that will engulf this galaxy in flames. When it is over, there will be no mercy for those on the wrong side.
He saw the colour flood back into his brother's face, a raw and bellicose red that he knew all too well.
Ferrus, I beg you for the sake of our brotherhood to join us.
Brotherhood, bellowed Ferrus. Our brotherhood died when you decided to turn traitor.
Fulgrim backed away from his brother as he saw the murderous intent in his blazing silver eyes.
Lorgar and Angron are ready to strike, and Mortarion will soon be with us. You must join me, or you will be destroyed.
No, snarled Ferrus Manus, hefting Forgebreaker to his shoulder. It is you who will be destroyed.
Ferrus, no, pleaded Fulgrim. Think about this. Would I come to you like this if I did not believe that it was the right thing to do?
I don't know what's happened to you, Fulgrim, but this is treachery, and there is only one fate for traitors.
So, you are going to kill me?
Ferrus hesitated, and Fulgrim saw his shoulders sag in despair.
I am your sworn honour, brother, and I swear to you that I do not lie, pressed Fulgrim,
hoping that there was still a chance to convince his brother not to act in haste.
I know you're not lying, Fulgrim, said Ferrus sadly, and that's why you have to die.
Fulgrim brought his sword up as Ferrus Manus swung his hammer for his head with blinding speed. The two weapons rang with a clash of steel that Fulgrim felt echo in the very depths of his soul. Flames blazed from his blade and lightning crackled from the head of Ferrus's hammer. The two Primarchs stood locked together, Fulgrim pressing his fiery blade towards Ferrus and the commander of the Iron Hands holding him at bay with the haft of his hammer. Burning light and sound filled the iron forge, the weapons roaring as the unimaginable forces harnessed in their creation were unleashed. Ferrus dropped his guard and hammered his fist into Fulgrim's face, the force of the blow enough to crush the helmet of tactical dreadnought armour, but barely enough to bruise the flesh of a Primarch. Fulgrim rode the blow and smashed his forehead into his brother's face, spinning on his heel and slashing his red-hot blade towards Ferrus's throat. The blade clanged on Ferrus's gorget, sliding clear without so much as scratching the black plate. Ferrus spun away from a return strike and swung his hammer one-handed as he bought some space with his wide swings. The two warriors circled one another warily, both aware of how deadly the other could be, having fought side by side in decades of war. Fulgrim saw tears in his brother's eyes, and the mixture of sorrow and pleasure he took from the sight made him want to throw down his weapon and clasp his brother to his breast, that he might share such a stupendous experience. "This is pointless, Ferrus," said Fulgrim. "Even now the War Master is preparing to expunge the weak from his forces at Istvan III."
"What are you talking about, traitor?" demanded Ferrus.
Fulgrim laughed. "The power of four legions will be unleashed against Istvan III, but only those portions that are not loyal to the War Master and his grand designs for the future of the galaxy. Soon, perhaps even already, those weak elements will be dead, cleansed in the fire of a viral bombardment."
"The Life Eater?" whispered Ferrus,
and Fulgrim relished the horror he saw in his brother's eyes.
"Thrown alive, Fulgrim, how could you be party to such murder?"
Wild laughter bubbled up inside Fulgrim, and he leapt to the attack, his blazing sword cleaving the air in a fiery arc. Once more, Ferrus's hammer came up to block the blow, but it was not a weapon designed for long duels, and Fulgrim rolled the blade over the haft and stabbed for his brother's face. The burning blade scored along Ferrus's cheek, the skin blackening to match his armour, and his brother cried out as the sword he had forged dealt him a grievous wound. Blinded for the briefest second, he staggered away from Fulgrim. Fulgrim stepped in, not letting his brother widen the gap, and smashed his fist repeatedly into Ferrus's face, hearing bones splinter beneath his assault. Ferrus reeled from the punches, blood drenching the lower half of his face. Fulgrim's senses shrieked with pleasure at the sight of his brother's pain, and his every sense was stimulated by what he was doing. As Ferrus stumbled, blinded and incoherent, Fulgrim closed and swung his sword for Ferrus's neck. The sword arced towards Ferrus, but instead of raising his weapon to block the blow, Ferrus dropped the hammer and turned into the blow, catching the descending blade in his molten silver hands. Fulgrim cried out as the pain of the impact jarred his arms. He tried to pull his weapon free, but Ferrus had it locked tight in his hands. The blade was utterly immobile, the chrome steel of his brother's hands swirling as though changing from solid matter to liquid metal. Fulgrim blinked as the metal of his sword seemed to liquefy, and the fire of its blade rippled up Ferrus's hands. Ferrus opened his eyes, and the fire of the sword was alive in the silver coins of his eyes.
"I forged this blade," hissed Ferrus, "and I can break it too."
No sooner had the words left his mouth than Fireblade exploded in a bright flare of molten metal. Both Primarchs were hurled from their feet by the force of the blast, their armour and flesh burned by white-hot gobbets of molten metal. Fulgrim rolled and blinked stars from his eyes, stunned by the force of the explosion. He still held the ruined Fireblade, though all that was left of the sword above the hilt was a smoking nub of hissing metal. The sight of the ruined blade penetrated the red mist of sensation that drove him, and the symbolism of the weapon's destruction was not lost on him. Ferrus was dead to him, and would rather die than join the new galactic order of the War Master. He had hoped it would not come to this, but he knew that there was no other way this drama could end. Ferrus lay insensible, his hands glowing with the wrath of the fireblade's unmaking. His brother moaned in pain at the destruction he had wrought, and Fulgrim pushed himself to his feet as his brother groaned at the horror of what had transpired within his sanctum. Fulgrim leaned down and took up his brother's warhammer, a weapon he had poured his heart and soul into, a weapon that had been forged for his own hand in a time that seemed as though it belonged to another age. The weapon felt good, and he hefted it easily over one shoulder as he stood triumphantly over his brother's recumbent body. Ferrus propped himself up on his elbows and looked up through blood-gummed eyes.
"You had best kill me, for I'll see you dead if you do not."
Fulgrim nodded and raised Forgebreaker over his head, ready to deliver the death blow. The mighty warhammer trembled in his grip, though Fulgrim knew that it was not its weight that made it do so, but the realization of what he was about to do. The darkness of his eyes met with the blazing silver of his brother's, and he felt his resolve waver in the face of the murder he was about to commit. He lowered the hammer and said, "You are my brother, Ferrus. I would have walked unto death with you. Why could you not have done the same for me?"
"You are not my brother," spat Ferrus through the blood of his ruined face.
Fulgrim swallowed hard as he sought to summon the strength to do what he knew must be done. He heard a dim voice, a faraway whisper that screamed at him to crush the life from Ferrus Manus, but its entreaties were drowned by the memories of the great friendship he had once shared with his brother. For what could compete with such a bond?
"I will always be your brother," said Fulgrim, and swung the hammer in an upward arc that connected thunderously with Ferrus's jaw.
Ferrus's head snapped back, and he collapsed to the floor of the iron forge, rendered unconscious by a blow that would have sent a mortal man's head spinning through the air for hundreds of meters. The voice in his head screamed distantly for him to finish the killing, but Fulgrim ignored it and turned away from his brother. He kept hold of the hammer and made his way to the gates that led back into the Anvilarium. Behind him, Ferrus Manus lay broken, but alive. The great gates to the Iron Forge swung open, and Julius saw Fulgrim emerge bearing the mighty warhammer Forgebreaker. Gabriel Santar also saw the weapon Fulgrim bore, but was not quick enough to realize its import until Julius turned and shouted, "Phoenician!" Instantaneously, the warriors of the Phoenix Guard swung the crackling blades of their golden halberds and beheaded the Morlocks they stood next to, with chillingly perfect symmetry. 10 heads clattered to the floor, and Julius smiled as Gabriel Santar and the Astropath spun in horrified confusion. The Phoenix Guard closed the noose on the center of the Anvilarium with measured strides, their bloodied blades extended before them like those of executioners.
"In the name of the Averni, what are you doing?"
cried Santar, as the gates of the Iron Forge closed behind Fulgrim with a hollow boom. Julius could see that the first captain of the Iron Hands was itching to draw his weapon, but did not do so in the certain knowledge that his death would follow as soon as he reached for it.
"Where is Ferrus Manus?"
demanded Santar, but Fulgrim silenced him with a shake of his head and a sly smile of pity.
"He is alive, Gabriel," said Fulgrim, and Julius hid his surprise at this news. "He would not listen to reason, and now you will all suffer. Julius!"
Julius smiled and turned to Gabriel Santar, lightning-sheathed claws sliding from the gauntlets of his Terminator armor. Even as Santar saw what must inevitably happen next, it was too late, as Julius hammered the crackling blades into his chest and tore them downwards. The energized claws tore through Santar's armor, ripping through his chest cavity and exiting in a gory spray of blood at his pelvis. The first captain of the Iron Hands collapsed, his life blood flooding from his ruined body, and Julius savored the delicious aroma of electrically burnt flesh. Fulgrim nodded appreciatively and opened a channel to the pride of the Emperor. "Marius," he said, "we will be making our way to the Firebird and could use something to keep the 52nd Expedition's ships busy. You may open fire."